peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. Winds of change may blow your way. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. His mercy's new for us today. There's peace in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the storm.
If someone was to ask you, hey, how do you get to heaven? There's a variety of answers that you'll probably get. Live a moral life. Be baptized. Become a church member. Do more good stuff rather than bad. There's only one right answer. And it's vitally important that we pick the right answer. As Pastor Pancho will explain on today's program of On the Level, as we continue our series of studies in the Gospel of John, today we find ourselves in chapter 3. And we'll be learning and considering how we enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what we'll have considered on today's program, coming up next, on this edition of On the Level Radio.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
And now with today's program of On the Level, here's Pastor Pancho.
Mark says to us that the first thing that Jesus proclaimed in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, that he said, the kingdom of God is at hand, and the kingdom of God is at hand, rather. He says, believe in the gospel and repent. That was the message. Jesus Christ spoke about the kingdom of God. We have here a dialogue between a man by the name of Nicodemus. And in Nicodemus, the Bible says that he came by night. Nicodemus has a bad rap. I too used to believe that because he came by night, that he was embarrassed to be seen with this man who was controversial. But that's not the case. He was a very intelligent man, because we know that he's a ruler of the Jews. We know that he's from the sect of the Pharisees. We know that he's a member of the Sanhedrin, with which the Jewish Tribunal Council, Supreme Court / Congress / President. That was the Sanhedrin. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. The prerequisite to become a member of that elite group is that you have to be a little bit wealthy. It's like a senator. You have to know the law. Most of them were lawyers. They knew the law, the Jewish law. So they were very bright. So this man was not an ignoramus. This man was not a dingbat. This man was sincere. He came to look to Jesus by night because Jesus, according to chapter 2, we are told that Jesus came into the temple and cleansed the temple. And the Bible says that there were miracles or signs that were done by Jesus. Unfortunately, we don't have the catalog of what kind of miracles he did. But when we read the Gospels, the miracles that he did were basically the same. Giving sight to the blind, healing the paralytic, healing the leper, and so forth and so forth. But the whole city was amazed at the miracles. The Bible says in verse 24 that Jesus did not commit himself to the people because he knew all men. And he had no need that anyone should testify of men, for he knew what was in man. So we are told that Jesus had many miracles. John does not take the time to let us know what they were. However, this man Nicodemus, by the way, the word Nicodemus means the conqueror of the people. In your handout, we have there that he's a cautious inquirer. He's a man of spiritual perception, sought out Christ, and he listened to one of the Lord's remarkable conversational sermons. Let's find out about this man before we get into the dialogue. Verse 1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, which means conqueror of the people. This man, quote, is a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, which is a title of reverence, teacher. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that comes from God, for no one can do these signs or miracles that you do unless God is with him. So John tells us that he is a member of, he's a Pharisee, and he's also a ruler of the Jews. That is the Sanhedrin. Also, John mentions him two other times. In chapter 7, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, they're arguing over Jesus, and it is this man that John calls him that came to Jesus by night. There he gives him a name. That's the way he describes him. Him that came to Jesus by night. He stands up in the tribunal of the Jewish council and he proposes not to do anything. And then we see him again in John chapter 19. Him and another rich man by the name of Joseph have permission from Pilate to take the body of Jesus Christ. And once again, John said, and Joe of Arimathea, along with him who came to Jesus by night, took the body down. And it was Nicodemus that bought 100 pounds of resin to bury Jesus Christ. Very expensive material. It was a postmortem burial texture of cinnamon and alloy and varnish. And they will cover the body so they will retard the stench of the dead or the body that is decomposing. So we know that he had a lot of money. We are told that this man was an intelligent man. Just to be, I don't want you to lose the feeling that this man was a dingbat. For many times I thought, Nicodemus, you know, he's kind of a dingbat. I am sorry, I take back everything I said about Nicodemus. You see, Nicodemus was just like you and I before we came to Jesus. Didn't someone go up to you before you became a Christian and they told you, you must be born again? And you and I responded with such repellent. What do you mean? Just a little prayer? What is that? Hocus pocus? I have to do something. Didn't we say that? Let me go home first. Let me clean up my act. Let me stop drinking beer. Let me start messing around. And you know, when I'm ready, I go to church. Somehow we thought that God will not accept us just the way we are. We believe, because according to our ignorance and tradition and culture, we've been ingrained since we were little ones to do something for God. You have to earn it. How many have that mentality before you came to Jesus? Absolutely. I thought I had to do something, because the kingdom of God, according to Jesus, is entered not by moral achievement, but by transformation that is initiated by God. It had nothing to do with us. You see, during the time of Nicodemus and Jesus, think this, okay? For 400 years, there has been no prophet. We have no king. We have not had an apparition, meaning God appeared. We have not had an audio or video apparition of any kind. There's no prophets. 400 years from Malachi to the Gospels. Imagine 400 years. 400 years, no prophet. So by the time Jesus came into the scene, the Jewish people, the ceremonially conscious people, they were into ceremony. See, the freedom that they had for the Sabbath now became a thug for social life. It became mandatory, obligational, ceremonial ritualism. And those who did not know the rituals or the ceremony were left out. And thus, the people, they knew the ceremony and the rituals and the washing of hands. And they knew all about the law and the commentary of the law and the commentary of the commentary of the commentary of the law. You see, the law was right here. But then they made a commentary about the law. And they begin to be concerned about the commentary. And then someone else made a commentary about the commentary of the law. And pretty soon, they had over 680 do's and don'ts. You are not to carry anything on the Sabbath. They had certain parameters. You can only walk a Sabbath day's journey. You can only walk certain steps on the Sabbath. You better not be carrying anything. For those of us that will go to Israel, will no doubt will come upon a Sabbath, the Shabbat. There are elevators for Shabbat. That way you don't have to work your finger to push the buttons. You just get in the Shabbat elevator and it stops at every floor. So you don't want to get in the Shabbat. You want to get on the fast when you push all the buttons. But there are so many people, they're still bound by the do's and don'ts, even in our own community. They got to do something for God. And yet, here is a man of God who's seeking. He's a ruler. He's an important man. He is a man who has power, social power, political power. He has financial power. And yet, he wants to talk to this man from Nazareth. And so he speaks to him. So Jesus recognized by Nicodemus' greatness. Or Nicodemus recognizes the greatness of Jesus. By giving him the title of rabbi, that takes a lot. Because Jesus is just a common man in his own perception. He's a man from Nazareth. Jesus is not dressed with the elaborate dress of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin were grotesquely exaggerated in their dress so they can stand out from the common people. You see, when Christianity evolved, Peter was not dressed with a shark's hat, with a robe. He was not like that. He was a fisherman. What kind of fisherman will get dressed all fancy? It wasn't until around 400 years later, traditional church, they became exempted from the laity. They wanted themselves to be different. And they emulated the priesthood from Babylon. Forgive me, some people get offended. So they began to dress with all the vestments, with all the undergarments, with the baton and the hook and the hats. The hats are all Babylonian made. You can go back to the Babylonian Empire and you see those hats they are wearing today. There's no way you can see Jesus or all the apostles with hats like that. They would look ridiculous. They were fishermen. One was a tax collector. One was a guerrilla fighter. He was Simon the Zealot. It was these men, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that would dress extraordinarily different from the rest of the population because they stood out. They were not among the plebs. They were not among, the lowlifes. They were the Pharisees. They were highly respected. They were feared. And yet this man comes by night and he seeks an audience from Jesus and he wants to ask him something. Notice that both make statements, not a question. Nicodemus made a statement. We know. Evidently, Nicodemus and someone else. We know that you come from God, for the things that you do cannot be done unless someone is sent from God. That's a statement. That's not a question. Jesus responds with another statement. There's no questions. And Jesus said, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. There are no questions. They're statements. Nicodemus did not ask, how must I inherit eternal life? What are you talking about, the kingdom? He just made a statement. You come from God. And so we know that we can deduct from the conversation that Nicodemus is asking some questions. And he's about to ask questions because if this man is from God and I'm a representative of God as a Pharisee, I want to be enlightened. You see, the Bible says that seekers and those who seek God will always get a response from God. If you're here tonight, and if you're seeking God, if you know you're seeking God, God will answer you today because you're seeking God. You are seeking God. You see, I wasn't seeking God when the Lord came to me. The Lord sought me in his grace. We are told in John chapter 15 that he tells his disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." And I thought I chose him. No, he chose me. I just responded. But there are some people like my girlfriend or my wife. See, I wasn't seeking him and he found me. But my wife was seeking God. because that's all she had. She had hit bottom emotionally, psychologically, socially, family-wise. She was in a despairing mode. She couldn't control her psychological emotions. She had just had an abortion. She was going through so much disarray in her personal life. And now her friend has just abandoned her. She was looking for God. When she walked into that Christian church, she knew in her heart, that's what I need. That's what I needed. And the Lord opened her heart. If you hear seeking the Lord, he will answer you. And if you hear like me, hey, man, someone brought me, man, I really don't understand. God can also speak to you. Because God brought you here. Even though you're not looking for God, perhaps you don't care about God. But now you realize that God cares for you. Nicodemus is a valuable man in here. Because of him, we have the answer how to enter into the kingdom of God. Paul says that the kingdom of God is about righteousness and holiness. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and 6, seek the kingdom of God first, and all these other things will be added unto you. What other things? When he speaks about clothing, speaks about food. All these necessities that we have in life, Jesus prioritizes it. He says, I know you have to work for clothes, for food, and you got to take care of your body. I know that. He says, all the other non-believers, the Gentiles, they seek all those things. But you, Christian, he says, you seek the kingdom of God first. And all these other things, what are the things? Priorities. And he gives us examples in nature, the birds. He says, they never go hungry. God created them. If God so much cares about a goofy bird, how much will he care for you? Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow has enough problems. Sufficient is the day to have problems. He says, live for today. He says, but seek the kingdom of God first and its righteousness. So there's a priority here, the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus says in here, he says in verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, a very bright, astute man, educated, said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again? Now, as Christians, mature Christians, we can look at this dialogue and think, how dumb. But we can't say that. Because you and I also had a lot of questions. I don't know about you, but it took me like around 2 months for me to decipher things that were coming to me about being a Christian. And I kept saying, I'm already a Christian. I party, you know, but you know, I'm a Christian. Why? Well, because I was baptized when I was a little kid. I went through a confirmation. What's a confirmation? Well, they confirm me. Confirm me for what? I don't know, but they confirm me. So I'm confirmed. I said, but it always bothers me that you know, I did my first communion, you know, in Mexico, and then here, it was rarely, never really approved by Mexico or the United States, and I was always in that middle. I haven't done my first communion. And when I used to get really tore up, I used to talk about God. I haven't done my first communion, man. And that will always bother me. So much so that when I joined the service, I had a scapulary. People don't know what a scapulary means. How many don't know what a scapulary is? Trip out. Well, I don't want to bring that up, but it is a brown felt metal. Made of felt. And it's supposed to be blessed by someone. And as long as you wear that, no drive-bys are going to mess with you. And if someone says, where are you from? And you just open your t-shirt and they see the scapulary, and they were supposed to go, oh, dude, what? Who wore a scapulary? Raise your hand if you ever wore one. Hey, man, see, people are looking at me weird. You got to see this shot from over here, man. People are like, what, for real? Yeah, man. When I see some of my pictures, you know, in the service, because I was in the Pacific, it was hot. There was none of us had a shirt, and all of us were T-shirtless. And all of us, man, I mean, you could see the people from East L.A. With no shirt, we had a scapulary. If they had a T-shirt, they were not the military kind of white T-shirts. We had J.C. Penney's up to here. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. So anyway, being religious, this man was not only religious, but he has been customized and conditioned in the culture, tradition, ritual, all these washings and all these ceremonialism. So he thought that in order for him to reach the kingdom of God, it had to be by moral achievement. I gotta be good. I gotta get it together. And it's everything about I. You know, and I know, and if you don't know, you should know, that there isn't anything that we can do to enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because fellowship was broken in the Garden of Eden. Man died spiritually. We were separated from God. What separated us? Sin. Sin. As Paul says, it is no longer I that do those things. I now know that it is sin that is in me. Romans chapter 7. I don't know what to do. That, what I don't want to do, I hate that, I do it. And the things that I should do, I don't do. But I practice quite the opposite. He says, what a miserable status to be. And Paul knew, he says, man, I know that I'm sinful. I know that I'm no good. I know what to do right. I ask you, is stealing wrong? Yes. Is drinking and driving wrong? Yes. Selling drugs to people? Yes. Taking meth, crystal meth, is it messed up? It's from Satan. And yet people still take it. There isn't any crackhead. There isn't any wino that can tell you, oh, this stuff is good for you, man. They all tell you, it's messed up, man. I hate doing this, but I have to do it. We have so many ladies on the street. We call them on the street strawberries. What are strawberries? Strawberries are girls that sell sex just for pieces of rock. There's right now, man, I don't know if the news report is correct, but there's a lady that we all know in movies, married to a husband who's equally a drunker and a hood. Beautiful woman. There's a picture taken of her on crack. This woman has millions of dollars, and she cannot stop her crack addiction. You know what she sees when she's on crack? According to her sister-in-law, she's always seen demons. She started in a church choir in Texas. Wonderful, sensational woman. You all know who she is. But every time she gets high on crack, she's always said, the demons are here, the demons are here, the demons are here. That's when you know you're tweaking real bad. Real bad. When you see the tweakers. You know, last week we had a fasting and prayer. A week ago today, there was someone here that was tweaking real bad. In his tweakness, he came here to accept the Lord. I don't know, you guys, if you noticed that. I thank God for security guys, and I thank God for the ushers and our pastors there. They spotted the guy. But he just came in, and he was right here. And out of all days, you know, he was the first one here to receive the Lord. And I was asking, there's someone else more, man. I should have just got him and get him out. But he received the Lord, man. He realized. I said, if you're tweaking right now, man, you need Jesus, because that stuff's from Satan, man. And he got up. Boom. The power of the Lord. Power of the Lord. There isn't anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be born again.
Being a citizen of the kingdom of God is the most important decision anyone will ever make in their life. However, along with the citizenry comes responsibility. God expects us to embody Christ's name, embrace his mission, and obey his word. Jesus teaches us exactly what it takes to enter the kingdom of heaven. As Pastor Pancho has been teaching us in John chapter 3 on this edition of On the Level Radio. Well, for the latest news and information, to know anything and everything about our ministry here at the Ark Montebello, as well as being able to review this study again, simply go to our official website. That's where you will find everything you need to know about us, all the social media links, as well as being able to hear this study again. Simply go to our website at thearkmontebello.com. That's thearkmontebello.com. And then please make it a point to join us for our next program of On the Level with Pastor Pancho Juarez.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. Peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
On the Level Radio is brought to you by the Ark Montebello in California.